Meeting to order. And I'll ask Jeff to lead us in the pledge, please.
Join the meeting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God.
Join the meeting.
Justice for all.
I see Tim did join even though he's
on the phone.
Need a motion to approve the minutes from the May 11, May 24, and May 24 meetings. We got a thin committee today.
Robin on the phone is going to have to make some seconds.
Can you hear us, Robin?
Where is everybody?
Yes, I can. Sorry, I had a little surgery yesterday, so I couldn't be there.
That's okay. So we did, and Hilda just walked in. We only had the three of us, so we need a second to approve the minutes.
Oh, yeah, so I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any grievances, Nate? Department requests. We'll start out with Scott.
Good morning, everybody. Good
morning.
So my request this morning, as you know, over the past several years, I've been working with a number of municipalities to look to join our workers' comp plan. Along with that, I've been also talking to some fire districts. With the addition of the town of Wayland last year, that opened the door to allow the Wayland Fire District to join our plan. If they'd like. We've been in talks and they would like to proceed to do that. We're looking to add them on 7-1 with your permission. It's a savings to the district of close to $2,000. So for a fire district, that means, you know, some turnout gear or some other equipment. Also, we'll be taking on all of the, you know, all that work that they have to do internally when there is, you know, when there is cases. So also working with a number of other municipalities and fire districts, but this is only one at this point for timing purposes to, you know, to put in front of you folks. So
we have a motion. Got a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any questions for Scott? John?
So this is just the Whalen Fire District.
Just
join the
just district. We did start talking with Perkinsville, but just a timing piece because they're a 7-1 renewal. They have to give the state comp board 30 days to be able to move. We just couldn't make that happen. So we're going to continue that talk and maybe look to add them next year. We could save them some money too. So that's a win-win for everybody. So
any other questions, Scott?
I mean, we know that fire districts have a higher risk factor to them. So is that built into whatever rates or share of the plan that they're going to be?
Yeah. So when we looked at them and Perkinsville, the first thing we do is get all their past loss history just to see and put it all to PERMA. Because with fire districts, it's based on population served. That's how they kind of figure a rating. And they, you know, that rating is a little more for fire departments and, you know, fire members. But all, you know, PERMA was very comfortable with the numbers. And as we are, again, you know, we're going to be looking at them year to year to see just what, you know, at the end of the day, what happens. Knock on wood, our plan has been doing great as far as losses, even along the fire district line. So
do we pick up their tail claims or does their current carrier?
They'll stay with their current carrier. So they come on board with a clean slate, so to speak. So
good.
Yeah, we're not taking care of that.
Carol?
Yeah, they brought on, I think 2 years ago now, a retired fire chief from down on Long Island. And his job is across the state to meet with fire districts, put on trainings and classes. And they've been doing a great job for that. They're actually putting more emphasis now. They offer grants to these departments through PERMA where they can get a $20,000 grant for clothes washers or whatever they call those things and others. So there's a good advantage to them as well.
Jack, you?
No.
Anything else? Not all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Jennifer.
Good morning. Just need to amend our standard contract template, which requires an amendment to the administrative code because it's in the code. And it's for purposes of receipt of American Recovery Plan Act funds. We have one paragraph that our template contract does not comply with regard to some federal language to receive that money.
Is there a motion to amend?
I'll move it.
Got a motion?
I'll make a second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Just having technical difficulties. Scott's going like this. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. Thank you.
Nate, you're up.
All right. Good morning. I don't think in my 20 years here I've ever had an agenda quite this long, so I apologize. I'm going to let Brooks talk about these first two and kind of give you the overview, and we'll go on through the other.
Join the meeting.
Okay. So the first two requests we have are salary requests for the DA's office. One is to set the salary of a new employee. As you recall, we moved one of our ADA positions to a senior ADA position. We were dividing up two salaries to come in at about $90,000 a piece. I have a candidate for one of those jobs, Marty Anderson. He has about 15 years of experience as a prosecutor. He was doing major crimes in Monroe County and has done good trial work. I spoke with Judge Moran up there, who's worked with him, gave him great reviews. Talked to Nate about the where he would fit in the salary grid. He kind of fits between two numbers, so we are to make sure we're under the 90. We promised Mr. Swackhammer, who's not here, unfortunately. We're looking at the 89, I think it's 316 number for him. He fits in that position at grade 11 on the salary grid based upon his experience. And he'll be a great add to the office. He's already trained. He can come in and just start trying cases. So that's a win-win for us. He'll be 100% employee. Should anybody have any questions, without outside employment, and we'll be moving to the county here as soon as he can get here. So that's where we are.
How about on the other one?
The other one is Anna Cecila. She was hired as an ADA. We hired her 2 years ago before she was admitted. So we hired her at the very base salary with the idea that if she did well, passed the bar, and we would move her up to sort of what the competing number was at the time, which was about $63,000. We were outbid twice when we hired her for other ADAs. So I had that conversation with Jack before I hired, but obviously it wasn't a promise until it gets confirmed by you guys. We did put it in our budget this year to increase her salary. It just didn't happen yet. So we've saved half of her raise already at her expense. But she has been with us for 2 years. She practiced under a practice order for about 21 months of that. She was off about 3 months where she wasn't practicing, but was still working in the office. She's fully trained. She's right now covering Bath, Town, and Village courts. I'm getting great reviews from law enforcement and judges. She's doing her first jury trial right now. So she's done a great job for us, and I'd like to be able to increase her salary and keep her. Again, this is still less than we'd be paying to bring somebody else in. She is 100% employee, is living here in Steuben County. So
I'll move it.
Got a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any questions for Brooks or Nate? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Is there anything else I needed for today?
You're good.
Thank you.
You
can take care of it. I've got a jury trial going on, so I'll see you.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Brooks.
Good luck.
Okay. Next one is in EMO. We're asking to reclassify a senior typist position to a senior account clerk typist position. This is a very long time employee who's worked for EMO for many, many years. Over the years, as most jobs do, it's morphed, and she's taken on much greater duties, including a lot of grant work, a lot of other higher level work than what she was when she initially came in. Also, as part of the reorganization over there with 911, she'll be overseeing the clerical staff in the 911 department as well. So you have that added bit of a supervisory component, which is why we're asking to go this route.
I'll move it. Second.
So motion is second. Any questions? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay. Next one is in 911. We're asking to reclassify a supervising dispatcher to an operations manager position. And this request is kind of twofold. So previously what you've had is the top working supervisor, as you will, is a supervising dispatcher in the dispatch room. And as part of the reorganization over there, we determined that it was a really good idea to have someone who was a true supervisor over that, that whole thing to do the quality control and, you know, keep things in check better like that. With that, it is a grade above, or it would be a grade above the supervising dispatcher, which the supervising dispatcher is the highest grade in that contract. Talking with the union, they have essentially said that since I have the authority to grade positions, I can add another grade to the to that contract. So I'm going to ask for your folks' blessing on that as well. And what I would essentially do is currently, in that contract, there's grade 10, 11, and 12, and that's it. The supervising dispatchers are grade 12, and it currently goes, grade 12 goes from 42,547 up to 54,176. And what I would do is add a grade 13 that goes along the same percentages as what the other grades did, going from 43,832 up to 55,840. It's, you know, $1,200, $1,300 if they were going to move, you know, up in a grade. So twofold, I guess. One is to reclassify the position, and the other is a blessing to add that grade to the salary grid.
So would the contract need to be amended?
No, not until we you know, went back into negotiations. It would automatically go in there then. And I've already been in contact with the union back and forth, and they know that this is my intent to do this. So we have documentation to that effect.
Benefits.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no gripe from them because we're giving them another, you know, place to get promoted, and, you know, somebody's getting a little bit more money in a, you know, higher level position. So they really don't have any problem with that.
Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Got a motion?
Second.
And a second.
Do they need to be separate?
No.
Okay.
So I just wondered what are we going to start this person at?
So, you know, it's a current person. So, I think
depends upon their salary.
Depends upon their salary. Right now, it looks like the current person is making right around 54. So they probably go to just shy of 56.
Would be the high top of the grade, 55,840.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because they've been here a long, you know, obviously going up in that, they've been here a long time. So, yeah, they're already making, you know, a little over 54. So, maybe
who are we talking about? Can we disclose that?
I don't think I can at this point.
Should you make more room in that range? Or is this person already senior enough that they wouldn't have any more steps?
That's it. They're already way up there anyway. So it's really kind of the same thing. They're just getting another grade. So I don't think so at this point. We may have to address it later in negotiations, but we do that as a package.
Yeah,
so
I'd say in the contract negotiation, those salary ranges likely, depending upon what you folks approve, are going to be changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, this gets us started. And then I'd say during contract negotiations, we could.
Okay. You know, this one was a little strange, and honestly, this is something I don't think we've ever done mid-contract, adding something like this, because, you know, other contracts had so many grades in them. You always had that upper grade. With this only having three, we didn't really have anywhere to go with it. So it was just, it's kind of an anomaly.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, and next we have Office for the Aging. Asking to reclassify an aging services aide position to a social welfare examiner position. And we had a lot of conversation with Patty regarding this position. It is an encumbered position. There is a current person in it. And the duties are not appropriate to the aging services aide position, but they do fit the social welfare examiner position perfectly. And that's the reason that we're asking to reclassify this particular one.
I'll make the motion.
You got a motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
On to public health. We're asking to reclassify a zero-based account clerk typist to a senior typist. And you know, they're the same grade, so there's no money difference. But this is another one where the duties fit much better with a senior typist than they do the account clerk typist.
I'll move it. Second.
Motion second. Any questions? All in favor?
I just have a question.
I'm sorry, Carol.
Are all of these or some of them from audits, or are they just requests from department heads?
Quite frankly, you know, we haven't had much time in the last year and a half or so to do audits. So most of these have been requests of the departments where a department head will call and say, you know, these people are doing out of title work, or I need somebody to do this, or so on and so forth. So the great majority of these, and then of course the 911 was as a result of us looking at that when we did what we did over there. So
thanks.
Motion carries.
Next one, request to modify the management salary plan. And what this is you'll recall that I've come to you a couple times regarding the risk management office and what we've done in there with the reclassification. That position in there has traditionally been a confidential management position. And when we did the management grid, all of the titles that were currently encumbered as a confidential management were included in that salary grid. This title was not in there because we didn't have one at the time. So I'm just asking to add it into the appropriate letter grade, into D, into the management salary plan.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Mm-hmm.
And then I'm requesting to renew our contract with Catalog and Commerce. This is our program that we use for all of our civil service exams, all of our roster cards, our employment histories, appointments, promotions, so on and so forth. It's our electronic civil service system. They've done well for us. We've had them, I think we're in year six now, if I recall correctly. This year it costs us $5,900, and renewal will be, it's an approximate $200 increase per year. So next year will be about $6,100 and $6,300 the year after that, and so on and so forth. They've done well, and they're the only game in town. And if we lost that system, we would definitely be dead in the water.
That's a 1 year, it's a renewal.
Yes, we're renewing just 1 year.
So moved. Second.
So a motion and a second. Any questions for Nate? If not, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay.
I think Nate, in talking with Legislator Hsu, might do number 9 first.
Oh, we can do that. Okay. So we're asking for a local law to allow peace officers that work for Steuben County to reside in counties contiguous to Steuben. As you know, there's been a lot of discussion on this lately. We do feel that we support it since the correction officers have become peace officers. That does require them to live in the county absent a local law to the contrary. So there's been a few, I think 6, that have been hired over the years that you know, do not live in county. So again, we're just asking to have approval to, or reapprove the local law to allow them to live in contiguous counties.
I think everyone was here yesterday.
Yeah.
But obviously this one, for the record, passed public safety. The next one can still be up for consideration. Jen and I reviewed the rules of procedure, but since this one passed public safety, we figured get it out of the way first.
I'll move it.
Second. Motion and second. Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
The second one did not pass public safety, for the record. But because this committee has jurisdiction of any originating local law, has the ability to come here. So we went through the paces to make sure there's a lot of discussion about process and your rules. And so under your rules, this would come here. Nate can provide the information. I don't know how much you want to, because
we had the discussion last month, and it was discussed in detail public safety. So I'm not sure how much more discussion needs to be had at this committee meeting that hasn't already been had.
And I had yesterday said that I would look into some of the specifics on everything. There's no real way to, as Mr. Mullen was asking for like a sunset clause or things of that nature. Nobody else has done that previously that I could find. And I think thinking it through, it probably would be very difficult to work administratively if you have a period of time where they can live outside of the county and then you cut that period off and then you try to grandfather those people in. I see that as an issue with people that don't get grandfathered in, saying they're being treated differently. So there was nothing there that gave us that sort of wiggle room. I think that there were some questions about titles, who would be included in deputies. SROs are included, so the school resource officers could be included. According to Nate's civil service description, or they may be, and this is the clearest one, of the boat patrol. They're special deputies, which they're allowed by law to live outside of the county as long as it's adjoining, because they're not full-time people. They only work seasonal. So the law is written such that they just need to live in a touching county, which makes sense. Who would move into county to work 3 months out of the year? So it looks like, as far as deputies go, we are talking mainly about the hierarchy at the jail, not the sheriff or under sheriff, but everybody underneath them that is a deputy, a sergeant, an investigator. They all by law could be deputies. So that's the bulk of the people, and the SROs appear to be as well. So we would think that they would be included in this because they are deputies as well. Correct, Nate? That are civil service.
Yeah, the SROs are what the state considers a special patrol officer, which is a retired police officer that we've reinstated to their former position, which is it could be police officer, could be correction officer, could be deputy sheriff, any of the above, but to the special patrol officer. So since they're being reinstated, okay, they are being permanently appointed as a.
But I think they would fall under somewhat the special deputies because they are already licensed under the executive law. So yeah. I'm going to take that back because we didn't finish our conversation yesterday. That just finished it. We had been going back and forth. I think SROs would fall under special deputies that are allowed to live in adjoining counties because those people are people that have by law been police officers, sheriff's deputies, and have retired and have come back. So they're allowed to live in adjoining counties. So based on that, we're only talking about deputies that are deputies, investigators, sergeants, not SROs, not the special boat patrol. That's what we're talking about with this local law.
And that would be full-time and part-time.
Both. Full-time and part-time deputies.
There were some other positions I thought that the sheriff said would, or other departments potentially that have investigators. Are they?
They're going to be different because they don't work for law enforcement. So I had spoken with Noel, who and I had looked up his all of Walt people that work as the DA's investigators. They're different. They don't work for the law enforcement entity of the county is how it's defined. That they don't work for them. They work for the DA's office.
Okay.
So that's a whole different analysis under the DA's office.
But the it would cover DSS investigators because I think one works for the DA, but the rest, I believe, work for the sheriff's office. So they would be.
So the social services investigators would be covered by this local law and not have to live in the county if we were to
pass contract it through the sheriff's office. So they will report to the sheriff's office ultimately.
Yeah, I think Brooks has one down there.
He has Dole that leads the team, and then we have two.
Okay. All right.
And Sheriff, just quickly on that topic, because I mean, it's almost individual person by person at this point to see how they got hired, whether they retired. Are the folks that you have downstairs in social services, are they retired police officers or?
Yes, the current welfare fraud investigators are both retired.
So I think they fall under your special deputies that are allowed to be in adjoining counties because they are all still certified under executive law as police officers.
Yes. Yes, they are.
So they would be accepted. So we wouldn't be talking about that group either.
In the future, we could be because in the past we have had we have had permanent deputies of the sheriff's office in that position. But as of, like the sheriff said, as of right now, the mix is they would be okay, but in the future they would be covered under this.
This just seems to get more complicated as we go.
It does.
It's very complicated.
I have a summer intern working in part-time in our office, and he is literally looking at these statutes. There's three of them and making us Excel spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. That's what he's working on because that's how much it is. The special deputies that we're talking about have their own section of law that's not attached to the deputy section of
3B.
Law. We could make it very simple by having the local law that talks about residency. Mm-hmm. And we talked briefly because I know the meeting was getting long and we had to cut the meeting shorter, I should say. But we started talking about miles, not contiguous counties. So I don't know where that was left off. But
well,
that would be in the MOU with the units, the bargaining units.
Deputies Association.
Yeah, yeah. We could take whatever direction you preferred. If mm-hmm. you preferred one over the other in this past, then when we negotiate the MOU, and it seemed like Sergeant Swords indicated that his members would be open to either. Mm-hmm. So it just depends upon what you prefer, miles or drive time.
And that's not something we can do in the local law. We're stuck. It's very complicated, but I'll try to make it as quickly as possible. The state law says you have to live in county, but it's a sort of law called a general law. I won't get into it. And when it's a general law, you can override it by municipal home rule, but only to the level that previous counties have overrode it, unless you ask the state for permission. So we're not asking the state for permission. So we can only override it like the other counties that have asked permission. And they have only overridden it to the point of you must live in the state of New York, but it has to be an adjoining county. So when we get into any details about adjoining county, we can't do it in the local law. We have to do it in our MOU with the union.
I think it's a practical matter. You know, you're not going to see a deputy move to Bolivar in Allegheny County and commute to Bath to work.
Yeah.
So most likely anybody who does leave the county, it's going to be on the periphery, I would imagine. And I don't think you're going to see a mass exodus. It's I think it's a handful.
The other clarification is because I prefer miles of a ring around the border of the county versus time. And is it the time it takes to get to Bath or the time it takes to get within the county?
To the county.
Because a person could live where I live, which is 2 miles from the border of the county, and be fine.
I was going to ask that question yesterday because Corning or Caton, and you're going to go to Danville. So who cares?
Technically, we could define it either way.
I mean, I think a 5 mile radius or border around our county border should be the limit. But is a person less effective if they live in Big Flats or if they live in Horseheads?
Right.
Not really.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
so would that 5 miles cover the deputies that are now living outside
the county? I believe so.
I mean, they get on the highway and they're there in no time.
Five. I'm just grabbing a number. Is five, yeah,
five or 10 or whatever. Right.
Five is reasonable.
I believe there's the most that I've seen at this point is just shy of 3 miles out. So mm-hmm. I think it would. But again, you're right. We could set that wherever we wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the Deputies Association has been very good with working with that. Those numbers that I sent you and the time and the mileage was just kind of where we had sort of settled on there. But they said, you know, look, if you folks want something different, we're happy to talk about that. Nobody's out very far. So, you know, they're happy to talk about it.
John? Yep. So this local law just covers the deputies. Is that my understanding?
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds like full-time deputy sheriffs, or would it?
Would be part-time too, as long as they weren't the retired ones that fall into that special category.
Okay.
And this group has gotten bigger.
Yes, it has.
All of your officer ranks and investigators too.
Yep. Jeff.
So in the days when, and I don't know when this thing was all set up, but you know, the highways are a whole different story now than they were 20 years ago. And I'm assuming they'll have lights flashing and they can get where they have to go as quick as possible.
So it's a DA.
If it's 5 miles. If it's 5 miles or 10 miles, I don't think it's going to matter much on the highway.
Jeff?
So now what do we do? Can we just say?
Oh, we got to let Jeff talk.
No, Jeff, you can't.
I'll shut that microphone off. Like,
yeah, right.
Got it now.
I would just like to say that I think if we're going to set that limit at 5 miles, 10 miles, whatever it is, as long as it's not all the way across another adjoining county,
yeah.
I personally feel that them taking that vehicle to their residence is probably going to be safer than leaving it at a highway department. I live right next to the Curtis shop and it's desolate there, mm-hmm. you know, after the guys go home, you know, and I see all sorts of people down there, you know, they just stop, you know, maybe they're waiting for somebody else, but so to speak, they're chilling in the parking lot. Well, I hate to see them doing that next to a deputy's car that cost us so much money.
Yeah.
I hate to see them driving it 30 miles across an adjoining county, but for safety of that vehicle, I really don't think leaving it at the highway department, you know, they're not right in town with tons of people around, you know, just like the Caton shop. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that's even if there's cameras only show you what happened after the fact.
And that'll be something that won't be addressed necessarily now.
Right.
But it'll
we can address through policy.
The MOU once mm-hmm. it's negotiated between the parties.
Right. And we would make it clear, you know, the little bit of gas or whatever, I mean, but we would make it clear that your work time starts once you hit the county border.
Mm-hmm. That in the only ones we haven't used any county shops. That was a suggestion. What we have used is Wayland Police Department, which has a camera out front.
And there.
Yes. Well, most of the time.
Yeah. I guess a police department, I think, is more secure in mm-hmm. any standpoint.
And that's what we've done through COVID for the vehicles that we needed at Corning and Hornell for bank escorts for DMV was leave the vehicle at the local police department when it was not in service.
And that was, you know, with those, the highway shops, I mean, again, that would not be our top choice either,
no.
But it was done that way just to keep options open in case, because you don't know exactly where anybody's going to live. So, you know, if the closest PD is 30 miles away, it makes it difficult. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of wanted to leave our options open there, but I don't think we would use that unless we had to.
And if I could, I just want to reiterate, this is an ultra competitive group that we're recruiting in. These police officers can go anywhere and ply their trade anywhere's in the state. And as we continue to lose people out of this county and out of this state, it's only going to be more competitive. And if we don't have this discussion now, we're going to have it in the near future anyways. So it's imperative that we keep ourselves as competitive as possible from my standpoint, so that we can continue to attract folks that feel like we care about them as employees.
John?
Yeah, I just want to say that even though this did not come out of public safety, I'm in favor of this passing this local law. So,
Fred?
Yeah, you said you were interviewing a couple potential deputies.
Turn your microphone on.
You said you were interviewing a couple potential deputies from Allegheny County that had no interest in living in Steuben County. Are they going to be more than 5 miles in Allegheny County?
I don't know. One is in Wellsville. How far is that from the county line?
It's more than five.
Yes, it is more than five.
More than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The local law would be saying they could live in the contiguous county, and it would be the MOU that establishes how far out that we're willing to tolerate. I personally don't think I would feel any less safe with our deputies if one of our deputies or several of them lived out of the county and then came in and performed their services within the county. I think that we have a very highly dedicated crew of deputies, and I feel like we should be doing for them all that we can to make them feel secure in their jobs and that we have their backs as far as their safety is concerned. I mentioned yesterday that one of my tax clients, her husband is a police officer and he works in Ithaca, but that they live in Bath because of safety concerns. Mm-hmm. You just don't know in this day and age what can happen. And so if you can avoid contact with people that you potentially either pull over or arrest, I think that that is certainly should be added to the list of benefits for something like this as well.
I should point out to Mayor Sweet that Bath is actually considered safer than Ithaca.
I'll get right on that.
Robin, do you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. I have a question. I'd like Jennifer to address the liability issue about our cars being over the county line. It's a small consideration. And I guess that I'm at a point where I'm being convinced. I was adamantly against passing a local law a few weeks ago because I felt that police officers should live in the communities in which they police because it gives them more skin in the game. Having been very close to the law enforcement community for various reasons over the years, I just felt that that was very important. But I do understand the sheriff's concern about recruitment and retention, and we are a much more mobile society today. I do want to ask, though, has there been any discussion about priority hire for Steuben resident, for Steuben candidate?
The local law specifically allows us to give priority for Steuben candidates.
So also, Robin, as far as the preference, there is a part of civil service law that allows for us to prefer county residents prior to those outside, and then only go to the whole list once the resident preference list is below three names. So there is a vehicle for us to actually prefer the county residents first, even from the list.
Is it a requirement? Or
no, it's an option.
And I think as far as liability goes, we would have to discuss this a little bit with the insurance carrier. That ultimately, I think, is going to be the answer. I'm looking at Mr. Sprague to see what they will cover and won't cover as far as car insurance, as far as anything that's within the SIR. I intended if this passed to kind of take a look to see if we needed to add anything in the MOU about if you're out of county, can you be on duty with your siren on and still be immune? That's going to be the question, and we can look into that and address it in the MOU.
And I will tell you that when courts are in normal session, we have county cars out of the county every day. We do, with our federal inmates, we run to Buffalo and Rochester almost daily.
But they're performing their job versus driving home.
Correct.
Is that different?
It is. Different, and it's different when you're performing your job. There are weird parameters as far as is it really an imminent risk? So that's what you end up looking at. Like if they're chasing somebody out of county because they saw somebody speeding and they're going into county. But if it's a fugitive, you have more wiggle room as far as your immunity.
Mm. John?
So this MOU, when are we going to discuss the features of that? As far as the mileage?
Well, we have been, but I think based on your feedback yesterday and today, Nate can go back to Sergeant Sorge and say, you know, the legislature prefers a mile instead of a drive time, and talk about those parameters. You know, we'd need a sense of what you all are comfortable with in terms of 5, 10, 15, what do you want? And sort of go from there.
Hilda?
So if I remember right, you're saying, you had said before, these deputies are on call so that if something happens, it doesn't matter where they are, they're on call. Mm-hmm. So I know there were some opportunities at Corning where you had a car and if you were on call, you took the car with you because you needed to get back and do whatever you had to do. So I don't know if we figured that into it, But, you know.
Well, and that was part of the reason for when what I sent you in that email, that second 45-minute piece, was those people that are on the CERT team or the evidence or the dive team or any, you know, so on and so forth. And again, the 45 minutes we just set in conversation with the Deputies Association, thinking that was fair, considering it would take that long to drive across county anyway.
For you, not you, for me.
Well, not for you, of course. Teach me. You've got lights and a gun.
Teach me.
So, but you know, that was kind of what that was for. It wasn't necessarily all inclusive for the deputies have to show up in 45 minutes. I mean, they have to be on duty when they have to be on duty. Right. But in an emergency call like that, we had set that 45 minutes, and that was the whole reason for that second piece, was to kind of keep that in check as well. That, you know, regardless of where they live, they needed to make sure that they could be at an emergency call in 45 minutes.
So before we have any further discussion, I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Got a motion and a second.
Can I ask one? Jim, when someone starts their shift, do they start it the minute they get in their car if they live within the county? If you're supposed to be on duty at 7 a.m., you get in your car at 7 a.m. and leave from your house, you're on duty, or?
Yes, okay. Typically they're a few minutes early, but they call in service, log on to the MDT and call in service to 911, and that's when they start being okay. On duty.
Thank you.
So they do that at the county border, essentially?
Correct.
If they lived out of county this past.
Anything else? Carol?
Yeah, I'm happy to see this go through, but I'm a little concerned about the atmosphere, the way this started. And I think we should be a little bit more lenient and have a conversation and communication with the department heads. At Corning, we were asked to read a book called Thriving on Chaos with Tom Peters. And I just think sometimes I feel like that's where we have been. And I would like to see if we can't avoid that in the future. Communications, to me, is the key.
Well, Carl, you didn't make the meeting yesterday, but I made the point that I'm in favor of this. I'm just not in favor of how it got to us. The horse is already out of the barn, and we're reactionary now versus doing it strategically.
I understand that, but I think communications is key for getting through these things and not be so adversarial at the beginning of them.
Thank you.
Anything else? If not, all in favor? I'm sorry, Robin, go ahead.
I'm just suggesting here that once this local law proposal goes before the full legislature, I would prefer that our MOU be clearly defined so that we know exactly what all the parameters are.
Good point.
We can do that.
Yeah, that can be done easily. Like I say, if you folks want to give us an idea of what you want, I mean, I can go talk to Matt today. So that's
I think we have the framework. Miles preferred. Is mm-hmm. there any sense of 5, 10, 15? I mean, does anyone have a very strong?
Well I guess I have a problem with sitting 30 minutes into another county. I have a problem with that. Sure. Five miles, 10 miles, that's fine, but I wouldn't want to see it any more than that.
I mean, between 5 and 10, it's not a big deal, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we'll work on that.
And do you have a sense of that second part? Do you want to keep something for those special details to be able to respond within a certain amount of time? Or are you just happy with the 5 miles? Or what's your sense on that one?
Well, the response time, isn't it up to the sheriff sitting out there? He's running that department. So it's whatever he requires those deputies to have.
I think so. I think it would be. And again, that really is for your specialty units, your folks with specializations, mm-hmm. which he assigns and can take into account where a person starts their day. So, mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know. I'm speculating. I think we're making too much over when a person gets called in. I don't know that happens all that often. I mean, the norm is
maybe once
people get up and they clock in when, you know, and they start their day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree. Emergencies are emergencies, but that's not the norm.
Correct.
Sheriff, how often would that happen?
We had, I believe, 11 SWAT callouts last year. We had 2 dive teams callouts. We actually had more arson callouts than we had any of the others. And everyone on the arson team is well entrenched in the county. So
once a month.
Yeah.
A little
yeah.
More.
Yeah.
But every one of those people
that's on those teams is a full-fledged deputy, right?
Correct.
So yes. The first answer already covers it. If you have it at 5 or 10, I don't think you need the time because they're already going to meet the first criteria.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think making it simpler.
And again, we can do, as with every new program we've done, we can do reports back to this group. We can give you analysis, whatever you need, as we move forward with it too. More than happy, completely transparent.
Because, I mean, you could call them on a on an emergency call and they might not answer their phone anyway if they're sleeping or whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean,
yes. And we have investigators that are on call on the weekends now, and they have to be able to respond. That's part of the agreement, is they have to be able to respond within the hour. So we already have that in process.
Anything else? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
So now go to the legislature. Are you
ready for the
school
board?
Yes.
Go to the board for presentation of the local law this month, assuming that passes. If that passes, then adoption next month.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Jack.
Hey, one item for us. We issued the RFP for employee engagement surveys. Received fairly good response. Six companies responded. As I mentioned in my email to you all, we did demos with two of them and are recommending CPS HR Consulting. Their base price is $14,080. We would like the open-ended questions. And what I'd propose, if you folks are comfortable with it, is a contract not to exceed $18,000, because what they also offer are focus groups. So if through the surveys we identified specific problem areas, or, well, I shouldn't say that, specific
opportunity areas.
areas for additional study.
Yes.
We could do smaller focus groups at a couple grand, where they actually would come on site and do that. So recommend an award to CPS HR Consulting with a 1 year not to exceed $18,000.
I'll move it.
Second.
What do you think is second
on the timing of it?
We had a lot of conversation. Chris, Nate, and I sat through those. So one of the things that we want to do is divorce this from the annual evaluations of management staff. Because, I mean, actually, this company said if you intend to tie this to your annual employee evaluation and raises, then we don't want to work with you.
Yeah, they should be separate.
They needed to be separate tracks. So the evals are coming up. Everyone's pretty much done by August. We do all the behind the scenes work because there is work on our end that we have to do in terms of getting them the rosters. We have to give them the hierarchy so they know how to code everything in terms of who reports to who.
Mm-hmm.
And we could get that all going so that by September we could get the survey out on the street.
Okay.
That's good.
Carol.
So will everyone be getting this very same survey?
Yes. We have the ability to customize should we choose. If there were departmental specific questions, we can do a little bit of customization, but generally, yes, our approach would be everyone gets the same survey.
Is there a motion?
Oh, I'll move it.
I'll second it. Yes.
I thought we did.
Did
we?
I don't know. I want to make
sure. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And with that, and I'll have to go to finance, but Nate and I both don't have enough money in our budgets to cover this, so we'd be requesting a contingent fund transfer in the amount of $18,000.
Move it. Second. Or you need us to do it here too, or just in finance?
Should be standing committee too.
Okay.
Take a motion a second on that point. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any other business? Jack?
No.
Motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Through that one pretty nifty, Nate.